Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Syria as a sovereign state has ceased to exist. Can the Western-backed HTS and other groups establish some kind of central control? And who or what will ultimately determine the fate of the Syrian people? Crosstalking Syria, I'm joined by my guest, Michael Maloof in Reston. He is a former Pentagon senior security policy analyst. In Tampa, we have Larry Johnson. He is a former CIA analyst and U.S. State Department counterterrorism official. And in Shenandoah Valley, we cross to Michael Scheuer. He is the former head of the Bin Laden issue station at the CIA. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Michael, let me go to you first in Reston. I mean, in my introduction, I said that that Syria has ceased to be a sovereign state, a failed state, essentially. Do you agree with that assessment, and what does it mean for the region and further afield? Go ahead, Michael in Reston.
It is now no longer a secular state. It's probably going to become an Islamic state, but we're still too early to tell, although we're beginning to see signs of it. There's already Sharia law being imposed in Syria. People are becoming a little more cautious and fearful, even though they were jubilant at first with the overthrow of Assad. I think that part of the problem, too, is going to be that you're going to have battles between Turkey and ultimately Israel over the state, and I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more consternation and upheaval in the region before long. And if Israel decides to feel buoyant and decide to go after Iran, that will then open it up to a region-wide catastrophe, and that will ultimately bring in the Russians. But I think that Syria right now is in a state of flux. The Syrians themselves, I would say the Israelis think they have Jalani in their pocket, but I don't think so. Because I've heard Jalani actually say that Jerusalem was the next stage.
Yeah, it's interesting, Larry, that I'm glad that Michael brought up it's no longer a secular state, because we have European leaders saying to Syrians that moved to Europe, you have to go back right now, go back to that, okay? This is what's really quite amazing. Larry, Michael already touched upon it, and this is a very broad question and maybe almost impossible to answer, but will American hegemony prevail? Will Israeli Zionism prevail, or will Erdogan's neo-Ottomanism prevail? I mean, there are three major contenders going on right now. They may be happy with the immediate outcome, but I don't see how they can work together for very long moving into the future. Go ahead.
Yes, Syria is Arabic for Yugoslavia. So, unlike Yugoslavia, you've got at least four different groups that are going to be vying for survival. So, yeah, 75% of the country is considered Sunni Muslim, but you've got the Kurds out to the east, the Druze to the south, the Alawites are scattered in there. So what we're seeing is it's devolving to each group trying to assert some control. The Druze are saying, hey, we'll join up with the Israelis. Surely they'll protect us. Within the Sunni community, there is no unity. There are various branches of ISIS, various levels of extremism. And frankly, I'm anticipating that some of them are going to start turning on Jelani because he's pretending to be woke and progressive. And, you know, the only thing he hasn't come out with is suggesting that his pronouns are they and them.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Let me go to the other Michael here, because a few days before, I think this is the best headline of all time on this issue here. A few days before the forced regime change, the Daily Telegraph had a title, How Syria's Diversity-Friendly Jihadists Plan on Building a State. Let's go to the other Michael. I mean, I mean, to presuppose that we know the audience knows nothing about what's going on in the Middle East, nothing that's going on in Syria, nothing about the dirty war that has been in there since 2011. I mean, what are they talking about? Jihadists that are diversity friendly. Go ahead.
There's no such thing, sir. It's a ridiculous headline, I think. And one thing we have not talked about is there's a fourth player. And the fourth player in the region, in Syria and eventually Jordan, will be the Muslim insurgents. We made a mistake. Mr. Putin and Mr. Trump made a mistake. They really badly damaged ISIS with their air cover, and they claimed victory. And I don't know if you've had much coverage there, but here in the United States, there's been almost no coverage for the past, since bin Laden died, of any real analysis of what the insurgents were doing, of what the terrorists were doing. And I think you're going to see that the major player here, the guys that end the battle over the long run, because they have an unlimited amount of manpower, especially since Jelani raised the idea of Jerusalem, that the money ought to be, after America's lost every war since 1945, you know, the money's got to be on the guys who have beaten the Americans, the NATO, and Russia in Afghanistan. So I think that's the big player. That's what's not been talked about. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the intelligence community has not done a real good job in keeping up to date on what they thought were the remnants of the Mujahideen.
I absolutely agree with you. Let me go to the other Michael here, because this is the mistake that actually was made was believing that the dirty war was over, the proxy war was over. And I don't want to go into great detail here, but the Russians are thinking about Ukraine. No unfinished business, okay? Because that's what happened in Syria. They let it fester. They let Idlib fester, and this is what you get here. This Jelani, can he create a central government? I mean, is he just an interim figure, Michael, in Reston?
I don't think so. I think he's already, as Larry has pointed out, there's already opposition growing among the factions. Look, you got a conglomerate of gangs. You have other splinter groups there. There's no indication that there's an ability to unite. And I'll tell you something else that's worrisome to me. And that is that the Christians in Syria and the other diverse groups are going to be threatened, included, especially the Christians. And I'm also hearing from my friends in Lebanon, they're concerned. The Christians in Lebanon are very concerned, not only because of the HTS, but because of the Israelis. So they're going to be getting it from both ends, because if you'll recall, the Israelis have said this is it's the Euphrates to the Nile for them, and given their messianic message that they're and their biblical ways that they want to carry on now, they consider this to be their God-given mission to reconquer all of that. They want Syria. They even want parts of the Euphrates, get into the Euphrates and into Iraq. And that then conflicts with Turkey, because Turkey has designs yep. on areas that are in northern Syria and into Iraq as well, not to mention the Caucasus and Central Asia itself. When I was in Central Asia doing some operational stuff, you could see the Turkic influence. It's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So the turmoil is just beginning. This is not going to be settling whatsoever.
Yeah, but Larry, that's the intent. I mean, it's already been mentioned the U.S. has not won a war since the Second World War. Chaos is the intention. That's the plan. Larry.
Well, I'm not sure it's the plan, but it certainly is the outcome.
Okay.
Let's remember that the Central Intelligence Agency, along with MI6, have been working strenuously since at least 2011 to promote the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad, and they've been doing so in concert with the Turks. Now, just because you've got CIA, MI6, and then MIT in Turkey working together doesn't mean that they all share the same purpose or objective. The Turks have always had their own agenda, but inherent in all of this was the willingness to provide direct support to these Islamic extremists that were embodied by ISIS. And you know they're extremists that when Al-Qaeda, Al-Zawahiri, had to write a letter to them telling, you know, then Zarqawi, the head of ISIS, to chill, to cool it, to stop killing all those Shia Muslims. You know, you're gonna ruin it for us. So, you know, this is what we have out of, you know, Jilani is the head of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is a break-off from ISIS. And so I described with these Islamic extremist groups, it's like hitting mercury. They will scatter and fall into different elements, but they're still the same element of mercury.
Well,
they haven't changed their nature.
So I'll go to our other Michael here. I mean, is there such a thing as a moderate terrorist? Because that's what we're being sold.
Well, I don't know if they're terrorists or not in all cases. I think they're one of the most amazing insurgent forces we've ever seen in the history of the world, really. I believe that the worst is going to happen every possible way because there's no one running this thing except the Israelis. Our Congress is owned by the Israelis. Our presidents are owned by the Israelis. Listen to the wild nonsense that Trump talks about supporting the Israelis and wiping people out. You know, at the bottom line, if there's a country less important to the United States than Syria, it's hard to imagine what is. It's important to all of us as intelligence officers if we get assigned to work and do the job. But I mean, if there was no Syria, who cares from the American perspective? It's just a matter of the United States shedding itself of the Israeli tons on its feet, dragging it down into the ocean. And the only way to do that is to stop the blatant public bribing of American officials in the United States. Otherwise, this is going to go on until Israel's gone. You know, we haven't mentioned Jordan. Jordan's not in a good position.
Yep.
I heard yesterday somebody said on the radio that the 82nd Airborne is going to be sent there to be butchered.
I agree with all of you. This is the beginning of something, not the end of something here. Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Syria. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Syria. Okay, let's go back to Michael and Reston. Well, I'm looking at all of our faces on this program, on this panel, and I think that it's fair to say that we all remember very, very well the global war on terrorism. Michael, what happened to that? I mean, if we're happy that a black flag is flying over Damascus, then what was all that all about? What was the global war on terrorism all about?
Well, Turkey is trying to make it sound like it's just a little ragtime group that they're really in control. You don't see that anymore, although the problem of terrorism is very real. Look, Syria today has the potential of becoming a new ISIS state. And I think Iraq is going to be concerned. That's why back in 2014, they didn't have the popular mobilization forces. They do now. And I think the Shia will be more than happy to meet them. And the PMF have all also come into Syria to deal with ISIS in the past. So I think that they're getting ready because Iraq by the HTS is being threatened as well. And I would say that with Turkey, as the neo-Ottoman, with its neo-Ottoman ambitions, you've got another problem lingering. And that is that the Gulf Arab countries do not want another Ottoman influence in the region.
Yep.
And you're going to see them back in more Israel as a result, but to a point. But you watch Saudi Arabia and UAE. They were trying to vie for influence, not only back into Syria. In fact, Assad had been invited back to the Arab League. He was beginning to be allowed to come back to join the group once again. And then this thing happened. So I think that we're going to be seeing more turmoil. I think Turkey is going to be a problem. But I also see the potential for Syria becoming a new ISIS state.
Yeah, it's interesting, Larry. I mean, I came across a news story earlier this morning. You know, HTS will make sure that ISIS isn't revived in Syria. And I'm just thinking, yeah. HTS and ISIS, I mean, I'm sorry, maybe I'm not as nuanced as other people are, but I mean, terrorist versus terrorist? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, when, you know, you read the Bible, you get, you know, Adam beget, Cain and Abel begat, begat. Well, ISIS started as is a fairly unique entity within the whole Islamic world. It was different in character, and it fragmented. And one of its successors was al-Nusra. Well, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS, came out of al-Nusra. And let's recall, it was al-Nusra in 2013 that actually carried out the sarin gas attack that was staged to make it appear that it was the government of Syria. So these entities within this ultra, you know, this Islamic extreme community, where they insist that they have the truth of God and that they're mission is to require others to adhere to that truth, but at the same time they will fight amongst themselves. And that's why I think some of I don't think Jelani's long for this world, given his attempts to assume a moderate demeanor. It may be welcomed in the West, but he should look at the Time magazine cover of Volodymyr Zelensky. The West may love you, but once you become a pawn of the West, you don't have longevity.
Well, let me go to the second Michael here. I mean, what is the road record of empowering these types of groups and being able to keep control over them? I mean, is this an intentional demolition, a slow burn? Can you actually reform these groups? Because I don't see that the historical record shows that. I mean, you should be careful what you wish for. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can't reform them. You know, we in the West are much less prone to thinking that God has a way in ahead for us. And invariably, with the Mujahideen, you see that when they lose a battle, they argue that, well, we weren't good enough this time. The Lord didn't approve it. We'll try it again. And we saw that during the Afghan wars. We'll see that again now. But this one is different. And you asked what happened to the war on terrorism. There never was a war on terrorism. There was a war on bin Laden. And when he was dead, we surrendered the biscuit. And the point for we never got, sir, is that bin Laden died victorious. The jihad was self-perpetuating. It is what he had written throughout his whole career, that we want to get to the point where al-Qaeda is not necessary. And it's we're now faced with the progeny of that. Guys with several victories under their belts against the world's greatest powers will come out of Afghanistan. And there's lots of ISIS in Afghanistan also. And I think we're going to see, it's going to take time, but the idea that Israel is going to form a greater Israel, unless the entire American military is based on the Iraq border, there's no chance of that. What we're looking at is yet another lost war if the fools decide to use American power there.
Well, you know, Michael, your appetite is a result of how much you eat, okay? And the appetite now on the menu is Iran. And you see that all through Western media. Unfortunately, it's bipartisan in the United States. Is Iran next on the menu? Go ahead.
Well, according to Netanyahu, it is, and I think he wants to act quickly. You're hearing him saying it, and you're not hearing any disagreement out of Donald Trump. So this is problematic. I also see the possibility that he's going to try that Netanyahu will try to make a move very, very rapidly on Iran, because he's on a sugar high right now, and he wants to take advantage of that. He feels he's decimated all these other elements, but frankly, ISIS and all these other terrorist groups, HTS, they're all instruments of Turkey and the United States and Israel. and they have been doing their bidding. If you look at some of the attacks inside of Iran, some of them were instigated by ISIS at the behest of Mossad. So, you know, these countries are utilizing these terrorist groups as instruments of their own aggrandizement, if you will, to try to maintain influence. But the United States is losing. Every time we do anything, we create even more havoc and more unrest and turmoil. And that's and I think it's purposeful. I think it's purposeful. I've concluded that it's purposeful because not only Israel, but the defense industrial complex requires it.
Well, what do you think about that, Larry? Because I think that, I mean, there's a lot of talk about Iran, but I mean, I think a forced regime change in Lebanon is very much on the agenda. And Jordan is looking, it's always looking very wobbly. Do you think that that's the next stage of this here? Because I think there's a sense of momentum and people want to take advantage of it. And Trump, he says these things, you can interpret it the way you want. Finish the job, finish it off, whatever that means. Larry.
Well, I think if we're talking momentum, the momentum's more like a guy that jumps out of an airplane and the parachute doesn't open and he doesn't have a reserve. So, yes, there is momentum, but I think it's called gravity and it's hurtling towards disaster. The United States has been, to put it kindly, morally flexible when it comes to the issue of terrorism. For years, we had the Mujahideen al-Khal, the MEK, on our list as a terrorist organization. And yet, starting with the Bush administration, but it was certified by the Obama administration, they were taken off the terrorist list. And then we began helping arm, train, fund, and they were carrying out terrorist, they're carrying out terrorist attacks. And when I say terrorism, I'm talking about the use of violence against civilians for political purposes. I do not lump attacks on military personnel in the same category. We have another word for that. I believe it's called war. The U.S. Efforts led to the assassination of nuclear scientists in Iran. So here again, as we were in 2012, funding the jihadists via Turkey that were killing Christians, that were killing Druze, that were killing Alawites. The United States has got blood on its hands, and we haven't learned anything. So this sowing of chaos without a clear strategic plan in mind is ultimately, I think, going to blow back on us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stay steadfast. I think the strategic plan is chaos, and you just wait for the outcome that you want here. Let me go to the other Michael here. Michael, a year from now, what is the map going to look like? Is there going to be a Syria? Will it be a rump state? Will it be greater Damascus? Where Israel is a fascinating country, it never delineates its borders, so it's going to continue to expand. Agree or disagree?
No, I think it's born to be an expansionist state. It always has been, and it always has been able to count on the Americans to play the fool, the flunky. And that's what we're doing now. I think in a year from now, it's going to look like Afghanistan or something like that, because it's going to take time for people to get there from the Philippines, from Malaysia, from Egypt, from all kinds of places, from the United States, from Europe now, since there's so many Muslims. And the Europeans may at some point be tied down by Muslims in their own countries. We can't forget that Ukraine is the biggest gun smuggler in the world, and I have to think that that was not ignored by Muslim leaders in Europe. They have a long-term view. They don't know how they're going to get there, but they know they're going to get there because that's what the Lord wants. And if you don't take that into mind, and we never do, we're always surprised. And I think people would be shocked. And I'm retired now, so I don't know if it's changed for the better, at the absolute ignorance of the world, of other people's faith, of other people's day-to-day life. We don't give a damn. We don't understand it. If it's not marked secret, we don't want to read it. America is the worst-led nation on earth when it comes to foreign policy.
Well, unfortunately, gentlemen, we've run out of time, but, you know, I'll just invoke the phrase, maybe this time it'll be different. I doubt it, okay? I want to thank my guests in Reston, Tampa, and Shenandoah and Valley. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.